That's okay. So you don't have to. If you feel like a little bit like, whoa, man, what just happened? Some of this stuff's a little heavy for me. Don't feel bad about that. That's okay. How many knows that science tells us that I have these germs in my mouth? And if I come and I spit a little bit too much when I talk, we believe that you can get infected by what's in me. Now, you believe that. You have no doubt about that. You come to believe that. But have you seen these little things? Have you seen these little germs? Do you see them? Do you know they're there? Have you seen a picture of them? Can you look at them? Can you hold them in your hand? No, you just believe. Somebody has told you that that's the way it is, and you believe it to be so. You know, I look in the stars at night, and I see little dots. You know, I just see little dots. They're beautiful. They're very beautiful. But science tells me those are suns and planets and solar systems. And we get these little pictures of these odd-looking little things, but I've never been there. I've never took a spaceship ride and went and seen another planet. But I believe it to be so because people tell me it's so. And I don't doubt that. I have no problem with that. People tell me that's the so, and they teach my children that in school, and I look up books, and they say that's what's happening. There's Jupiter, there's Saturn, and there's all these other galaxies, and I believe it. But I've not seen it. And in fact, those of us that are Christian, we believe with all of our heart that when mama dies or daddy dies or I die or my child dies, that Jesus is going to take me to heaven. Now, I've not seen heaven, and I've not physically seen Jesus. I've experienced him, but I've not seen him the way I see you in my awakening state. I've not seen heaven, but I believe that to be so. So if I believe that there are germs in my mouth that will give you the flu, if I believe there are planets out there that I can't see, if I believe that Jesus Christ will really raise me from the dead, then why do I think I have to have it all figured out here? And why do I think that he's not capable of doing some pretty wild and amazing stuff on this planet? Why do I think I have to wait till they put me 6 feet in the dirt before I see some amazing, miraculous things? Maybe, just maybe, there's stuff we don't have figured out. And maybe that's okay. And maybe we're all still learning. But I believe we're going to get there. So we got to have an open mind. We can't come in and get blown away just because stuff happens we don't understand. You know, I'm looking for stuff like throwing water or talking into bottles. You know? That was a moment. Well, you know what? I'm looking to learn some things. I'm looking to learn some new things. I didn't come here to stay the same way as when I came this morning. I came here to change. I came here to see lives change. I came here to see lives transform. I came here to see some miraculous new stuff. How many want to see some new stuff? Everybody likes the old stuff. Everybody talks about the old way. There's nothing wrong with the old way. But I'm here for some new stuff this morning. So if you guys have that video, get that short one, Will. I don't think we've got time for the long one. Get the short one, the 2-minute one, okay? I got a short video for you and a word. A short word, I really believe all my heart. I haven't used a video in a while, but I believe God wants us to start this way. And a very short, I believe, word for you this morning. Are you with me? All right, let's watch this video.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream.
What I'd like for you to do right now, I want you to think about your dream. Think about your dream right now. I want you to think about it and envision it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me share something with you. I do not believe that any of us have dreams that were not given to us. I don't know what that dream is that you have. I don't care how far-fetched it might appear to be. I don't care how disappointing it might have been as you've been working toward that dream. Here's what I know. That dream that you're holding in your mind, that it's possible. See, sometimes we can't say, I can do that. But what we can say, that it's possible that I can have my dream. As we run toward it, as we work on it day in and day out. No one, ladies and gentlemen, could have convinced me when I started out working on my dream. And I want you to think about whatever your dream is. Because I was willing to take a chance, and most people won't do that.
Life is going to be tough, but you got to get back up. It's not about your IQ. It's about your I will. Don't ever let your weakness destroy your greatness. Every one of you is born with greatness. But so many times we let weaknesses destroy it. You have a dream that's been put inside of you. You go for that dream.
I have a dream.
Say dreams. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Genesis 37. If you have it, you can stand for the reading of the word. If you're able to stand, if you're not able, that's okay. I'm going to read just a few chapters, and I think God's going to make a very important point, or some points to us today. If you're ready, say ready. Ready to dream. Here we go. Genesis 37. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. And Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. But one night, say one night, Joseph had a dream. Say dream. Like the pastor had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told his dream to his father as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come out and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Soon after, Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready and I will send you to them." "I'm ready to go," Joseph replied. "Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along," Jacob said. "And then they came back and bring me a report." So Jacob sent him on his way. And Joseph traveled to Shechem from the home in the valley of the Hebron. When he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the countryside. "What are you looking for?" he asked. "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph replied. "Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep?" "Yes," the man told him. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. And when, listen to this part, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. "Listen, here comes the dreamer," they said. "Here comes the dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns. And we can tell if our father, a wild animal, has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. You may be seated. You know, I think about dreamers, and we don't plan any of this stuff out. You know, I don't even know where I'm going to be half the time. But, you know, Dad was talking earlier about his dream. And my mind has been on dreams. My mind has been on the dreamer. My mind is on the fact that we are a people, that God has placed a dream inside of us. God has placed a very unique dream inside of you. It's not my dream. And it's not even your dream. It's God's dream. God has placed a very unique dream inside each and every one of you. And He did that from birth. He did that from birth. The Bible says before you were formed in your mother's womb, the prophet Jeremiah, he was appointed to be a prophet to the nations. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God put a specific dream inside of you. A specific dream. And it's different than my dream. And it's different than the one He put inside the person beside you. It's unique to you. Your dream, God's dream. And I think about the fact that how many of us stop dreaming? I think about the fact of how the world even treats dreamers. How that dreamers kind of make us mad sometimes. Dreamers kind of offend the world sometimes. The world don't like dreamers. Satan don't like dreamers. Evil doesn't like dreamers. Lazy doesn't like dreamers. Complacency doesn't like dreamers. Depression doesn't like dreamers. Sin doesn't like dreamers. Addiction doesn't like dreamers. Oppression doesn't like dreamers. Slavery doesn't like dreamers. Racism doesn't like dreamers. Hate doesn't like dreamers. Dark doesn't like dreamers. We can't stand dreamers sometimes. I think about, and God actually gave me this message on Martin Luther King Day. I think about the fact how God put a specific dream inside a man and how the world felt they needed to kill him because of that. And then I started thinking, isn't that how it always is? Who was the original dreamer? He was born 2,000 years ago in a manger to a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He went around and he healed and he preached and he showed a new gospel, a new law, a new relationship to God called love, called grace, called forgiveness. And he was beaten, he was tortured, and he was hung on a cross, hung between heaven and earth. He went into the dirt, he went into the grave, and in 3 days he rose again. He came and he ascended to the Father, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And one day, the sky's going to open up. You say, I don't know about that. I don't care what you don't know. One day, the sky's going to open up, and I will see a white horse. Behold, a white horse. He dreamed a dream of a restoration between man and God. He dreamed a dream of God's will on heaven and earth. He dreamed a dream that we could get in the dirt with those who are hurting, that we wouldn't condemn other people who make mistakes. Because let me tell you something, friend, you all make mistakes, and I make mistakes, and I'm not better than you, and I'm not claiming to be better than you. I'm just forgiven by the grace of God, trying to follow a man named Jesus. And that should be yours to dream too. He dreamed that kind of dream. And religion killed him. Because religion don't like what it can't control. Religion don't like what it can't control. And they never could control him. They never have figured out a way to control him. They'll control me? Maybe. They might control you? Maybe, if we let them. But they won't control him. That I promise you. Because the world don't like dreamers. They kill dreamers. They put bullets in dreamers. They crucify dreamers. They gossip about dreamers. They tear down dreamers. They criticize dreamers. Because they're afraid of the dream. Have you stopped dreaming? Have we stopped dreaming? You can see it in a little child. When you talk to a child, I used to coach a lot of children. And when you tell that child, honey, you can do anything you want, man. Where's Reggie? You can hit that ball. You can hit that ball. You go up there and you hit that ball. And they look at you with their eyes. And they believe it. They believe it. They got dreams. Honey, you can get a scholarship. You can go to college. You can play ball. You can be president if you want to one day. And they look at you with those big eyes. And they believe it. Because they're dreaming. But then when you talk to older people, you tell them, you know what? Yeah, you're 30. Yeah, you're 40. Yeah, you're 50. Yeah, you've been divorced 3 times. Yeah, you've been addicted to drugs. But God's not done with you. You still got a dream. It's time to get up out of the dirt. It's time to get up and dream again. Dream on, dreamer. Dream on, dreamer. Dream on, dreamer. But you know what? Sometimes you tell that to a grown-up, and they don't have those big eyes. Yeah, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Sometimes their eyes go down. They look away. They don't have that same confident look of belief in that dream. And so I just wonder what happens inside of, what happens in the intermediate period between that little child who dreams and that person that life beats down. That our eyes lose their brightness and we stop dreaming. We stop believing that dream will come true. Really believing. Not a dream, not our own selfish dream, not a dream like I'm going to go put a buck on a Powerball and hope I get $459 billion. I don't believe that junk. And you don't either. But a dream that you really believe with all your heart. You know what? When God put that dream in you, you know what that's called? That's called your destiny. And you know what? When they bury me, I'm going to leave behind something. You know what that's called? My legacy. My dream, my prayer is this, that my legacy match my destiny. I don't want to leave anything on the field. I don't want to leave anything behind. I don't want them to bury that dream with me in that cemetery. I don't want that dream to be 6 feet in the dirt. I want that dream to be out here amongst you. I want that dream to be breathed by my children. I want that dream to be breathed by your children. I want to see that dream getting baptized on the hills of Lost Creek and around the country. I want to see that dream realized in the prisons around this world. I want to see that dream realized on the streets of Detroit and all over this country. I have a dream. Will our legacy match our destiny? What determines that? I guess everything in between. You're born with a destiny. You die leaving a legacy. I guess what might count is everything in between. What's our life look like? What's our actions look like? How do our time, our hours, our minutes, our sweat, our blood, our tears, our laughter, how do they accomplish our dreams? How much time do we waste? How much time do we spend in self-pity? How much time do we waste on things or minutes or hours of our life that don't accomplish our dreams? I think about Jenny. You guys may have covered that at the very beginning. I was on Reynolds time. We didn't? Okay, good. Huh? Okay. Oh, you texted and told you not to. Well, you didn't text me. You messed up. You should listen to the Holy Spirit next time and quit being in the flesh. We We're going to prison ministry Friday night to the annex, a very important service, and there was a bad accident. I still don't know the results. There was a tractor trailer that went on fire, and that road was closed about 3 or 4 hours. I don't know how long. And I had no way where we were stopped to get to Mountain City. And it just so happened, just quinky-dink, right, that I texted Jenny just a couple hours early and said, Jenny, can you be there? I need some help. And she was going a different way from Kingsport through Elizabethton, so it worked out by God's divine plan that she was there. And she, by herself, went into an annex. And the annex is kind of different than those who've been to Mountain City. You kind of just walk in the pod. You walk in, and she had never even been there. She just walks in, and there's guys running around, you know, showering, doing all their thing. And she's got to find her way to a church service that she's never been to, in a building she's never been to, in a prison she's never been to, among inmates that most of which she's never seen, and go by herself, do lead praise and worship, not by herself, with the Holy Spirit, but no other person there, lead praise and worship, and give a word. And she really doesn't fashion herself a preacher, although I think she does a real good job. So I just call her about an hour before service and say, guess what, Jen? You're on your own. I'm stuck. You lead praise and worship, and you preach the word. And she said, yes. She said, yes. It was a powerful service. And it was a powerful service. But she was talking, and I didn't even hear the service, obviously. But she called me afterwards and told me how it went. And she was talking about how a light invades darkness. And how that the enemy is darkness. And unlike Eastern theology or philosophy, there is no yin and yang. God has no opposite. Okay? God has no opposite. Satan is not the opposite of God. Satan is the opposite of an angel because he's an angel. But he's not the opposite of God. God created the angels. God has authority over the angels. God has authority over Satan. They're not opposite. If I turn on the light in this room, it's not 50-50 who's going to win. The light's not going to go halfway and stop because there's an equipoise of power that they're just balanced. No. You turn on light, the light invades the whole room. Darkness flees. Light will take on every ounce of this room, every corner of this room. You see light. So if you're the enemy and you want to have any sort of victory, you know you can't win. He knows he can't defeat God's plan for you. He knows he can't snuff the light. He knows he can't quench your dream if it's a God dream that God put in you. So what does he do? I mean, you've got to think like the enemy sometimes. What is he going to do? If he can't destroy God's dream, if he can't extinguish your light, if he can't stop what God puts in place, then what will he do? He'll convince you not to shine your light. He'll convince you to put your dreams down. Because that's the only way they go away. He can't stop the dream that God puts in you. But he will convince us to put them old dreams away. That it's impossible. That it can't be done. That it's bigger than you. That it's just some fantasy, that you're damaged goods, that you're not good enough. The world can't stand dreamers. The enemy can't stand dreamers. And I'm getting ready to get to the scripture. You've got to understand this. Why? Number one, dreamers convict people of our own inaction. They make us realize the people that really go out and live their dreams, that we get mad at them because they convict us because we're lazy sometimes and we're apathetic sometimes. And it convicts us because we're not doing something. We want to say, we want to make excuses. Their situation's different than mine. Steve Jobs or Martin Luther King or Billy Graham or all these people that live God dreams, they're just different than me. They didn't have as many problems as I had. And we make excuses, and we don't like them deep down because they convict us of our laziness and our apathy. I can tell you a story. When I was a freshman playing college basketball, man, I wasn't playing that much. I was a freshman, and I wanted to get in the game. How many ever played a sport, and you've been on the bench, and you had to get back in the game? You wanted in that game, man. And there was this senior, He was a big old boy. I won't say his name because he may be listening on podcast. We never did make up after this. I need to probably. And I wanted to earn my playing time. So in practice, man, and we practiced at 5 o'clock in the morning. And this old boy's a senior. He's been rolling 43.5 years. It's in Christmas break. And I'm out there just hustling. I'm posting him up. And I ever play, man, I'm fighting to get the ball. And we're just going through plays. But I'm fighting to get the ball. I'm fighting to say, Coach, look at me, Coach. Look at me, Coach. Give me some action. That old senior got mad at me. He actually physically threw me to the ground and tried to have a fight with me in the middle of practice. Just for hustling. Just because I had a dream to play hard. But it convicted him. My hustle, my ambition offended him so bad, he had hate towards me. He not only fought me, he walked out of practice and quit the team. He walked out that day after 3.5 years, and I shouldn't probably tell the whole story. I'm sure he's a great guy. He just probably had a bad day. But there's something about the dreamer that convicts us, because sometimes we're apathetic and we want to be lazy and we just want to live our life and we just want to do our thing. Something about the one who will give out crosses 24/7, who will not give up all of his personal time, who won't even hardly do a birthday dinner without taking 14 calls. There's something about that that really sometimes hacks me off, I'll be honest with you, because it convicts me of my own laziness and my own inaction and my own selfishness. How's that for real? I've been mad at times. I've been mad at the old man at times. Well, can't we even have a birthday party without you taking 14 calls? But what am I really saying? Yeah. Because I am convicted. Because I'm not living the dream the way he's living the dream. His activity convicts me of my laziness and my sloth at times. Is that real? So I think about Joseph. Coming back to Joseph. Martin Luther King and Tiger Woods and Billy Graham, but now we're coming to Joseph. I think about a guy who was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. God put dreams in his heart. And he gave those dreams. I mean, it wasn't his fault he had the dream. You know, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't pastor's fault he had a dream to throw water at you guys. Hey, blame God. Bring an umbrella next time. But his brothers and even his father got jealous, because this old boy dreamed God dreams. There's an enemy to your soul, and his name is Satan. He doesn't want you to have God dreams. He wants your life to look like everybody else around you. And that's what happened to Joseph. All of his brothers and all of his family was convicted, and they were jealous. They were so jealous that they made a plan to kill him. The world kills dreamers. Remember that? They made a plan to kill the dreamer. And so they took him when they had the opportunity. When Joseph went out to see him in the fields, they took him and they threw him in a cistern. They threw him in a cistern planning to kill him. There's a real enemy to your soul who wants to destroy you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you and your dream. He wants to kill you and your dream. He wants to put you in a pit and leave you for dead. Some of you have been in a pit long enough. Some of you have been in a pit long enough. Some of you have been in a cistern long enough waiting to be destroyed. You feel helpless. You feel helpless. But don't forget the dream that God put inside you. I don't care if you're in a cistern. I don't care where you are. Don't you forget that dream, dreamer. Don't you forget that dream, dreamer. So they made a plan. And they ripped that cloth of beautiful coat that his father made. And they took it back to his dad, and his dad cried. Now I want you to think of this. Here's a guy with a God dream. And he ended up in a cistern.
He ended up alone. He ended up left for dead. How tempting would it be in that position to give up on my dream? God, you may have put, I thought you put a dream in me. But I'm in a cistern. I'm left for dead. Be awful easy to put down that dream. But you know that old boy, he kept dreaming. Some of you in a cistern, you're in a helpless place, a dark place, a tough place, a difficult place. And the enemy wants to convince you that you're destroyed, that that dream's dead, that it's over for you. But I'm here to tell you, each and every one of you, with all my heart, you keep that dream alive. You dream on, dreamer. You dream on, dreamer. You dream on, dreamer. Because the enemy can't kill a God dream. The enemy can't kill a God dream. The enemy can't kill a God dream. The enemy put a bullet through an old preacher on a Memphis balcony, but he didn't kill the dream. The dream lives on. The enemy crucified a Savior 2,000 years ago, but he didn't kill the dream. The dream lives on, and my King lives on. He lives. He lives. He lives. Dream on, dreamer. And there's some people here today, the enemy said, your dream's dead. But I'm here to say, if it's a God's dream, it's alive and well. You need to get up out of the dirt. You need to get out of the cistern. And you need to dream on. Dreamer. I believe we got some dreamers. Not pop dreamers. Not silly dreamers. Not tacos late at night dreamers. But a dream that God put inside of you. That is your destiny. And I believe some people are going to hang on to it. And that destiny is going to become legacy. So Joseph dreamed on. Joseph didn't give up. He didn't quit. He kept dreaming. He kept following God. He kept interpreting dreams. And here come a group of people to take him into slavery. See, I told you there's a group of people. There's an enemy to your soul that can't stand the dreamer, wants to kill the dreamer. But there's another enemy. There's another tactic. Sometimes the world wants to control or own the dreamer because they don't have their own dreams. They want to control their own. So here comes this group of people that put him into slavery, that took him into slavery. They didn't have their own God dreams. They didn't have their own relationship. They didn't have the anointing. So what they tried to do, they tried to control the dreamer. That's called the Jezebel spirit. Jezebel had no anointing. Jezebel had no God's dream. What did she try to do? Control the man who did. There's people that want to kill the dreamer. There's people that want to destroy the dreamer. There's people that want to control the dreamer. So they took him into slavery. So here, it's not bad enough. I'm in a pit getting ready to die. God, I'm a dreamer. God, did you give me these dreams? And I just told these dreams, and now people are going to kill me for it. Now people are putting me in slavery for it. God, why? Have you ever asked God why? If you're honest to yourself, you've asked that question. I believe we've all probably asked that question. God, why? You gave me this dream, God. You brought me out of Egypt, God. Why did you bring me this place just to be torn down now? I could have been torn down back there. I could have died in New Orleans. I could have died in Egypt. Why do I got to die on the altar of a church? God, why? So he went into slavery, but he kept on dreaming. And you know what happened? God blessed him again. He ended up in the house of Potiphar, who was an officer in the Egyptian army, a well-to-do man. And everything he did was blessed. And Potiphar got to like Joseph and said, you know what? This cat's all right. I like the dreamer. And so he did well. He became in charge of all the household. And so once again, God put favor in his life. Till a nasty rumor and accusation tore him down again. Potiphar's wife said, he tried to rape me. Tell you something. When the world can't stop a God dream, he'll try to discourage, discredit the dreamer. Everybody that's ever preached the gospel, everybody that's ever dreamed a God dream, I guarantee you has been torn down, discredited, lies. And how tempting it is for the dreamer to hear those lies and just quit. Because the dreamer says, you know what? If they're going to talk about me, I'll just go do it. Why do I come to this place? Why do I come to this place? Nobody talked about me. Nobody accused me of messing with Potiphar's wife when I was back in the fields. God, why did you bring me all the way here to tear me down with lies and rumors? God, why? I'm a dreamer, God. Why? I told you the enemy has one goal. He can't defeat the dreamer's dream. He can't defeat the God's dream. But if he can discourage you to quit it, that's his goal. And so the accusations came, and then once again, Joseph, now back in jail. Back in jail. Strange place for a dreamer to be is in a prison. You know what? Maybe no better place. No better place. So he ended up in prison. So it wasn't enough that the dreamer, all he did was dream of God's dream. All he did was express his dream. All he did was try to live his dream. All he tried to do was live a God dream. And he ended up in a cistern, left for dead. Then he ended up in slavery. Then he ended up falsely accused. Then he ended up in prison. God, why? Wouldn't it be so tempting to give up on them old dreams after all that? So I asked you a question earlier. I said, what happens between the bright-eyed destiny of childhood and the beat-down adult who no longer believes their dreams? You know what happens? Life. You know what happens? Cisterns. You know what happens? Slavery. You know what happens? Prison. You know what happens? Gossip. You know what happens? Rumors. You know what happens? Lies. You know what happens? Hate. You know what happens? Disappointment. You know what happens? Depression. You know what happens? People let us down. And somewhere along the way, the dreamer puts down his dream. We put down our dream. We're no longer living, but we're marching through life towards our death. Living without a dream. Without a dream, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. God put that dream in you for a reason. That's your destiny. That's your purpose. God made a line, a line. God made a line, a line. You can put a line in a cage and he'll die. But you let that line get out on that savannah, out on that African plain. And you tell him, dream on, dreamer, you're the king of the jungle. And a lion will live, and a lion will thrive, and a lion will do what he's supposed to do. Some of us have put down our dreams, and we're like a lion in a little cage. As the people in the circus come, and little kids throw popcorn at us and take pictures and make fun of us. You were meant to roam. You were called for greatness. Greatness is not just for Martin Luther King. It's not just for professional athletes. It's not just for the prophets of old. God made you to be great. He made you to do great things. He made you to change your world, to change your family, to change your community. He didn't make people to be junk or filler. He didn't make just random characters that had no purpose. It's an insult to God to think he would take the time to form you and that he would send his son to die for you if you didn't have that inside you. Dream on. dreamer. But guess what? There's a good end to this story. Because old Joseph was a dreamer, he didn't quit dreaming. Even though life beat him down, even though he could have had many opportunities to question God, even though he had disappointments, even though he had delay, that's a lot of the problem. We want our dreams now. We're the microwave generation. We're the pay-per-view generation. We're the get-on-the-internet and watch anything we want, anytime we want generation. When I was a kid, you watched cartoons on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. If you didn't get up, you missed it. Now the kids get up, they push a button on their little tablet. They can watch anything they want. They can do anything they want. When I was a kid, you had to wait for somebody an hour to cook a meal. Now, you go through a drive-thru, they take 2 minutes, you're complaining, you're getting on the internet and put a survey. Oh, they're just too slow at PALS. I want to complain. I want to get this poor girl fired. She made me, oh, I was already late. It's my fault, but I'll blame her. We live in a generation that expects everything now. Let me tell you something. It'll come when God says it's going to come. And delay. What happens is when our dreams get delayed, we put them down. Hear me out. Hear me. When our dreams get delayed, we put them down. When our dreams get delayed, we put them down. Listen, put your hand over your heart. Seriously, do it. Do you feel something? I hope you do. If not, I'm not calling 911. It's too late. But I will pray for you and believe in a miracle. And if not, I know some of my good friends are funeral directors. I'll give them a call. Does everybody feel something? Okay. Then don't worry about the delay, friend. If the dream's still there, if it's a God's dream, it'll come to pass. You need to keep on dreaming, dreamer. You need to keep on dreaming. Joseph, the cistern didn't discourage him. It may have discouraged him, but he didn't put it down. The slavery didn't make him put it down. The false accusations and rumors didn't make him put it down. The prison cell didn't make him put it down. He kept dreaming. And the Bible says he got the attention of the Pharaoh, the King of Kings, the earthly King of Kings, the number one source of power on this earth. And he actually brought him in and made him the ruler over all of Egypt. The very dream that God gave him, which seemed so impossible when he was a little shepherd guy with a pretty little coat. I bet that did hack some people off, didn't it? Look at that dream roll out of that. Look at that middle of that little sweet coat of his. Yeah, he think he's something, don't he? He ended up leader of the biggest superpower on the planet. And the very boys, the very brothers that plotted against him, were jealous of him, in a great time of famine, had to come before him, not even knowing it was their brother, had to come before them and humble themselves and beg. You know what that dreamer did? It shows he hung on to God's dream. Because you know what I might have done? I'm a bad dude sometimes. I'll be honest. I don't always do things the right way. I might have been a little spiteful. Oh, now you want my help. Now you want the dreamer's help. Why don't you take your booty back down there and starve to death? No, but not Joseph. Wouldn't you? Don't we? Aren't we spiteful like that? We're called to love everybody. We're not just called to love the people we like. Hitler does that. The devil likes his own minions. We're called to love the people we dislike. The people that persecute us. The people that talk about you. The people that hate you. That's why he called us to love. You want me to give you a medal because you love your child? Because you love your mama? I'm going to pin a medal on you? I want to see some Christians who will take people that gossip about them and lie about them and go up and hug them and say, I love you. So Joseph had a choice. We see the dream that God put in him. It was a strong dream because he showed his family mercy and love. But you know, through all that disappointment, through all that life, he never gave up on his dream. I'm not saying it don't tell us everything. Maybe there were times he was discouraged. I would guess so. I don't want to say so, but I would guess so. He's human. And there's times that I get really discouraged. I'm going to be honest. There's times I feel like, you know, I was a bad dude at one time. I guess we all are still bad dudes. Jesus said none are good but the Father. And if Jesus couldn't call himself good, I sure ain't going to call myself good. But I was even a badder dude at one time, I think. And sometimes I look at myself and I say, God, why did you take me through all this? People still beat you up and beat you down. Is that real? It's like, why? I mean, and you know what's weird is nobody ever did it back then. That should tell you something, shouldn't it? That should tell you something. But you know what? Only thing I know to do is keep on dreaming. Because I can't go back. And I can't put this dream down. It's just something won't let me. I'm tempted. I sit down sometimes. I'm old. I'm sitting down right now. But something inside me says, don't put it down. Some of you, you've been struggling with that, if we're honest. Something inside you has been tempting you. And you know who that voice is. Put it down. Put it down. Give up. Put it down. Give up. But I'm believing that you're not going to do it. That dream that God put inside you, the moment you were born, before you were born, that you're going to hang on to. Dreams are going to come true. I believe that. Is there anybody here crazy enough to believe it with me? I believe in the destiny of each and every person in this room. I believe it with all my heart. And I don't even know all of you, but you know what? I know that God made you for a reason. And that dream that's inside of you, that dream that made the little kid run and play and his eyes bright, may seem like it's been a while. It may seem like an old dream. But I think it's time for some of us to pick him back up. I think it's time for this body, for each and every person in this room to start dreaming again and keep them, keep them, keep them, keep them. Not a fleeting dream, not a dream we dream once and put away, but a dream we hold on to that drives us, that the cistern don't stop, that the slavery don't stop, that nothing that happens in this life, that delayed gratification, that delayed dreams, that all the doubts and the problems and the persecution and the things that go wrong won't stop. Because something that Bubby and I talked about a while back, that there was a dream that a few old preachers had of unity. And it could have been like, well, Travis died. Pastor Travis Sturgill died. Why did God give the dream for all of us? The dream's not dead. Listen. I may go to heaven. I plan on it. I may leave this place. But the dreams God's put in me are going to live on. And when you go to heaven, the dreams God's put in you are going to live on. I believe on a mountain up beside the four lane in Norton one day, there's going to be kids running and singing a song that sounds a lot like the dream that you and I have. You say, preacher, what are the lyrics to the song they're going to sing? I believe the lyrics sound like the dreams that are in your soul and in your heart. That's what they're going to sing. So God's saying, pick up the dreams. God's saying, dream on, dreamers. God's looking for dreamers. God's looking for dreamers. God's looking for those that says, I'm going to pick up my dream. I want to see my dream come true. You all have a dream. You all have a dream. If you have a dream, if you know in the bottom of your heart that God has put a dream in you, I want you to put your hands up. I want you to put your hands up. I'm not going to have you bow your heads, because dreamers are going to dream. Put your hand up if you got a dream. If God put a dream in your soul, if God put a dream in your heart, you put them up in the sky. You put them up in the sky. And I want you to hold them up, and I want the music to go down for 1 second. Just down a little bit for 1 second. I'm going to be quick, and I know y'all get mad at me for talking with your hands up, because you say my hands get tired. Listen, I've been lifting a lot of weights for a lot of years. I know my hands get tired. Switch hands. God gave us two. Switch if you have to. I'm going to be as quick as I can be. In 1960s, God put a dream in a little preacher from Atlanta. One of my earthly heroes, Reverend Martin Luther King, that one day kids of all colors could worship together, could play together, could laugh together, could dream together, could sing together. And we don't live on a perfect planet yet, but I'm telling you, they put a bullet in that man. But I thank God that I live in a church where every kind of people, every kind of race, every kind of background, every sex, every background can hold hands and praise God and worship God together. You tell me dreams don't come true. I know it's not perfect, because the enemy don't like dreams. But I thank God for the dream. Keep your hands up. You know what he did? He told a group of dreamers. They didn't have much reason to have hope. They had police dogs biting them, and they had water hoses and abuse and all kinds of bad things. People say, you shouldn't talk about that and stir that up. Well, I believe in being honest. They didn't have a lot of reason to dream, except God put it in their heart. You may feel like you don't have a lot of reason to dream. You may feel like your situation is bleak. You may feel like your situation is rough. But I'm telling you, God put a dream in you. And he got those people, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, to march. They marched all over the South. They marched across bridges. They marched to the capital of the United States of America, putting their lives in danger. But they marched, and in marching they said, I believe in this dream. I believe in this dream. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to count to three. And if you're a dreamer, I want to march. I don't want you sitting in your seat. Dreamers don't sit in their seat. Dreamers don't sit in their seat. Dreamers don't have to hit the snooze button in the morning. I hate to tell you that. Sometimes I do. Dreamers don't have to hit the snooze button. Dreamers don't sit in your seat. Dreamers get up and they go do stuff. And today we are a group of people that are going to do something. We're going to dream awake. We've dreamed asleep long enough. We've dreamed asleep long enough. Today, we dream awake. So today I want you to put your hands up. Put your hands up. And when I count to three, I want you to march to the front. And we're going to proclaim right now that today we're going to pick up this dream. And we're going to take this dream all the way, all the way, all the way. And we're going to pray. Are you ready? Are you ready? One. Dreamers, are you ready? Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. If somebody's in your way, say excuse me. And you're going to pile to the front. You can come on the stage. There's no rule that you can't come on the stage. I know we don't have a lot of room up here. Come on the stage. I want you up here with me. Are you ready? Two. I want to see some dreamers moving. I want to see some dreamers marching. I want to see some people that will not be deterred. Yeah, don't wait on me. Come on. Three. March. 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 Dreamers dream. I need some music. Dreamers dream. March. March. We're taking it back. We're taking our dreams back. Devil, we're taking our dreams back. Devil, we will not be stopped. Keep on moving. Move. Fast. Faster. My voice is gone. Fast. There's people still trying to come. Fast. Move. 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 Come on, move. I need some fast people. Oh, I need some prayer warriors too. Move. Come on to the front. Come on up here. Just move around. I'm going to go back here so I can make more room. Yes. You keep piling up front. You keep piling up front. Going up to the front. Going up front. Move. You all just keep moving. You all just keep moving. Go up to the front if you have to. Go up to the front if you have to. Good to see you, my brother. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. I need a lot of prayer warriors. You all keep moving. If you're in this place and you are a part of this ministry team, you need to start moving around this room and start praying with people. You need to start moving because some stuff's happening. Some dreams are getting picked up. But I need some people to start looking around this room. There's people around this room that need prayer. You just start moving. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. We're getting ready to pray. There's people that need prayer. I need some females over here. I need some females over here right now. Females over here. I need some males over here. Yeah, they're just putting out music because we need prayer. Come on, somebody help. Nobody should be just standing around, and nobody should be praying alone. I know we're used to having music, but maybe right now we just need people praying. Right now we just need people praying. Heavenly Father, oh, you just start praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that lies, oh, that rumor, that devil will not stop what you put to place, that the enemy will not stop what you put to place, that our discouragements, that we're not going to listen to the enemy any longer. We're tired of being the devil's pump. We're tired of being the devil's pump. We're tired of being bipolar Christians. Up, down, up, down, up, down. We want to lead something in front of our family. We want to be something more. We want to be a dreamer, Lord. I thank you for dreams. I thank you for dreams. I praise you for dreams. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray for a generation of dreamers. A generation of dreamers that will take their dreams to the end. That will take their dreams to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will see.
Hallelujah.
At Hallelujah. Your feet I will see. And I will stay here for a little while until I look like the one I behold. And I will pour out my vial until all of me is on the floor. And at your feet I will sing. And I